You're listening to Shared Security, a podcast that explores the trust you put in people and technology. Hosted by Tom Esten, Scott Wright, and Kevin Johnson. Welcome to episode 277 of the Shared Security Podcast, and joining me again for the second week in a row, the one, the only, Kevin Johnson in InfoSec, that is.
That's not true. There are lots of Kevin Johnsons in InfoSec.
You may not know about them. I know about them.
I know some of them.
Do you?
I will laugh. One of my favorite InfoSec people, Ken Johnson.
I know Ken Johnson.
Right. Did you ever notice when his Twitter, I don't know if it still does, for the longest time his Twitter said Ken, not Kevin Johnson?
Oh, I didn't see that.
And I asked him one day, I'm like, why? Because let's be very clear, Ken is smart as anything. Like, I would not in any way compare myself to him as like, oh, I'm better or something like that. This dude is smart.
He's right? A good dude, yeah.
I guess he was at some event that he was speaking at, and they asked him a whole bunch of questions about Samurai.
oh my gosh.
And so he made his Twitter handle, which I thought was horrible because he's so smart and so great. Which does bring up, guess what happened this morning?
What happened?
Samurai 5.3 was released.
Oh, very cool.
Yep.
Congratulations.
Samurai was released. Katana was released. I have not yet, the pull request got accepted.
Yeah.
Because we actually, even though I'm like the creator of Samurai, I can't push to the main branch directly without somebody else approving it. Which is good because I screw stuff up all the time.
Because you could really screw that whole thing up. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So the new release is out. The images have actually been, this is one of those things. I wish there was a way to do this that I knew of. And if somebody does, please let me know. So we release the Vagrant files and all the supporting stuff. That's the actual Samurai release.
Okay.
But because most people don't want to build from Vagrant themselves, we also release an OVA and a Hyper-V version that you can download, and they're pre-built and ready to go. So in the README are the links to those releases and the hashes so that you can verify that you got the right file. So we have the SHA hash and the MD5 in there. Here's the part that drives me crazy. We have to build the release, upload it, get to the hashes, put them in the README, and then actually do the release. So if you have downloaded for the last week, you were actually getting 5.3, not 5.2, because of this process, right?
It's okay.
What I'd like is when you generate it, it just dumps the stuff.
Well, for our non-technical audience, I do want to apologize for the last minute that Kevin talked there. You probably heard a lot of terms that you have no idea what he's talking about, but that's okay.
Oh, man, I'm sorry.
It's totally fine, because now we do have some things that I think you might know about. You might know of this thing called Twitter.
Yeah, maybe.
And
have we ever talked about Twitter?
Maybe once or twice. Yeah, once or twice. But Twitter has had a security incident recently that caused private tweets that were sent to this thing called Twitter Circle or Twitter Circles. They were shown publicly to users outside of that circle. So if you're not familiar with Twitter Circle, it's a privacy feature that allows users to send tweets to a small circle of people promising to keep them private from the public. Well, they were public for a short time. And the reason I bring this up is, well, first of all, a lot of people don't even know about this feature called Twitter Circles, right? But it goes back to that there has been so many changes at Twitter recently because of Elon taking over. And it's been kind of chaotic, I think, just the number of new features. Here's Twitter Blue. Here's not Twitter Blue. Here's a check mark. No check mark. Like, I don't know what's going on over at Twitter anymore. So the fact that they actually disclosed a security incident, I feel is progress, because I know that they had laid off their entire security team at one point. So it sounds to me like they're actually rebuilding the security function which is a good thing, right?
Yeah, I don't know. Yes, that's a good thing if they are. I don't know. They announced a security incident. Let's be very clear. That is so vague as to be useless, right? So, like, for example.
Okay, I'll give you that.
It could have been a security incident that a developer or somebody made a change on a setting. Like the implication, and if you read the comments from people, it's like, oh, they got hacked, blah, blah, blah. It's like, nope.
No, they didn't get it.
That not necessarily. Maybe they were, but let me be very clear. If you were a hacker and you broke into Twitter, and the only thing you did was change the privacy settings on a circle. Yeah. I don't know what your end game is. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Like I don't get it, right?
It sounds like it was a misconfiguration.
Yeah. This is the type of security incident that was like, oops, we pushed code and we didn't realize we had screwed something up. I mean, you know what I mean? Like, and I'm not downplaying it. I'm just saying this is different than what we normally think of as a security incident. So I'm not sure we can say it's a sign that Twitter's moving in the right direction because of that. But maybe they are. Maybe they are. I'm still using it.
Yeah. It's interesting. I went back to Twitter a little bit. I've been on Mastodon for a while now. And I've unfortunately just seen a lot of the conversations dry up a little bit. Like I more people have gone back to Twitter, and I just something I've noticed. I still love Mastodon. I still love the community. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I still use it, but I'm not using it as much as I used to, because a lot of people that I used to just communicate with just haven't been tooting very much.
I can't handle the term tooting. I'll admit that one throws me off every time.
It does it for you. Yeah.
Yeah. I giggle a lot. Have you caught up on Ted Lasso?
Yes, I have.
Okay. I'm just going to say the last episode that aired.
Yeah.
Did you find the comment about having two S's in password to protect against hackers being as funny as I did?
Whole thing was funny. Yeah.
I laughed so hard. I couldn't believe.
It's amazing. Yeah. So for those of you, without giving you spoilers, there is a cybersecurity
thing.
Yeah. So that's what I'll say. It's a thing. So definitely check that out in Ted Lasso.
And the person who says they were the cause of it, the other person says, oh, your password wasn't password.
Yeah.
And he says, yes, but I used two S's to two throw S's. Them off.
Yeah. It's so funny. I know.
I was crying. I was laughing so hard.
That's great.
You want your organization to be secure and compliant and to have a healthy culture, but your employees' lack of awareness makes you vulnerable to data theft, fraud, and compliance penalties. It's frustrating that the boring static training content that's being used today has failed to improve employees' ability to defend against cyber attacks. At ClickArmor, we know that without using gamification, it's extremely hard to get staff to understand how to avoid threats. Our gamified simulations and challenges have provided a 50% average improvement in thousands of employees' ability to spot phishing threats. Go to clickarmor.ca/sharedsecurity to get your free gamified phishing assessment for up to 500 employees. You'll see quickly how gamified simulations can help your team be more resilient and compliant and help avoid costly ransomware and fraud incidents. Let ClickArmor help you go from being an underappreciated, stressed out fall guy to being an innovative leader who's the catalyst for greater productivity in your organization.
Okay, so Twitter Circle, now we're in Apple and Google teaming up.
Yeah. So our second story here is Apple and Google have partnered to create a draft industry-wide specification that can identify and alert users of unauthorized tracking using devices like AirTags. So this is a new spec that for Bluetooth location tracking devices across different products, right? So Samsung, Tile, there's a couple other vendors involved, and they're going to come up with a set of standards around this. And I think this is a great thing.
Yeah. Oh yeah, totally. And what I'm really happy about is that the two big ones that will be able to detect the tracking are agreeing to work on this, right? Like that, if Apple came out and said, look, we've released AirTags and here's how we're doing this, that would be good. But okay, my Android device is not necessarily going to follow that. The idea that Google and Apple are saying, okay, we agree, this needs to be fixed. This needs to have something. That's awesome. This is the type of fix I want to see more of. I wish, and we'll talk about it in the next article as well, because it's the opposite there. This is what should happen in my head. Right. The organizations that have the ability to drive the standards, because they are the people releasing the software. Right. Like that.
Yeah.
That's the big thing. Right. You know, that, you know, an outside force, whether it's the government, whether it's the EFF in reference to your shirt, whether it's right. And I'm not bashing them, but them saying, hey, Apple, Google, you need to do this is one thing. But Apple and Google saying, hey, we know what we can do. We know what we're capable of. We know what's going on here. That's beautiful.
Yeah. My only comment now is, can they actually get together and have like a unified messaging protocol?
I was waiting for that to come out. You know, like
that would be awesome if Apple and Google can get together and actually do that. But there, that isn't even on the horizon anymore, unfortunately.
Which I don't understand. I've heard people say, well,
I don't either.
Apple is the roadblock because they want people on iMessage. And I'm like, I don't know a benefit to them. Like,
there isn't. Apple's a hardware company.
Yeah, I'm not buying a new phone so that I can get into iMessage, right? Like, so it's not like the walled garden of Apple store or the Play store or whatever.
Yeah.
It I don't know. I don't get that one. And hey, maybe this will drive that, right? If they realize they can work together more.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
That's a great point. Maybe this is the start. I don't think so either, but we'll see. Our last story of the week, the White House unveils AI rules to address safety and privacy. So the government is now starting to meet with major tech companies like Google and Microsoft and OpenAI to have conversations about the risks around artificial intelligence. I mean, and this is basically on the tail end of that announcement after all of these people, you know, signed that petition to stop the development of ChatGPT. We had an episode where we talked about that. But this is not a law, or this is not anything really. This is just guidance, essentially, and they're going to start these conversations.
Yep.
Let's be very clear. Yeah,
what they're going to do is they're going to fund a new group that will start evaluating it because you know the government needs to spend more money,
of course.
And they're going to come up with a AI Bill of Rights, which does not mean what you think it means. It's not giving rights to AIs. It's right. Yeah. Which to me means it's named the wrong thing. But this is in my opinion, this is simply the government saying, look, we did something.
Ah, yes.
That's it. There's a whole bunch of people who are afraid of AI, which I don't understand, but let's go with it. Whole bunch of people afraid of AI. It's gotten traction. It's gotten news. Mm-hmm. It's gotten attention. So what does the government do? Hey, we're doing something. Look, we did something.
Look what we did. Yeah. It's bipartisan. At least
in this case, they're not saying we're protecting the kids. And
not yet, Kevin.
Not yet.
Not yet. That could be coming. Valid. Yeah, that could be coming.
Yeah. This is what I like is, you know, we need more meaningful regulations such as we see being developed in the EU with the AI Act. I've looked at the AI Act. I don't see anything meaningful there either. Every single time you say, let's get the government involved, you make me think you're an idiot. It's that simple.
But the government's going to protect us, Kevin.
Yeah.
Like they always do.
They will.
I know.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, so we'll see. I, you know, it's just like with privacy, the national privacy law and all of that. I think this is going to, again, default back to, well, let's let the states decide.
It'll either be, we'll let the states decide.
Yeah.
Or it will be which lobbyists have, because like the privacy thing, I totally agree. And this is opposite of what I normally say. I totally believe there should be a federal privacy law.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. We've said that. Yeah.
The problem is I don't expect the federal government to come up with a privacy law worth a damn.
Right.
And so I don't expect this to become anything worth a damn either. Right.
Yeah. Well, and I think the corporate influence is going to be
so great.
I mean, oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, we talked about with privacy. Remember how Mark Zuckerberg wanted to, you know, help define the federal privacy law and all the legislation, and he lobbied for that. And well, obviously, because it would be of great interest for Facebook to craft the privacy law so that law benefits Facebook. Now you're going to see Google and Microsoft have heavy influence in the development of anything around AI and the law, because it will greatly benefit their business. So,
well, and that's where the problem comes in, right? Is, okay, so self-regulation doesn't work very well in many cases because of the capitalistic viewpoint we have to get forward. Okay, sure. I agree with that, right? I'm not a hardcore libertarian that believes that everybody should regulate themselves. The problem is I don't see effectiveness coming out of the federal government today, right? Anybody look at our current Congress and say they're effective?
Totally useless.
I'm not real excited about this. I think here's the biggest impact that I'm going to see from this is I'm going to start getting requests from IONS and from other organizations that are asking, oh, what do we do about this new AI Bill of Rights?
Yeah.
My answer right now is ignore it.
Yeah, exactly.
Plain and simple.
Exactly. Yep.
So,
well, Kevin, thank you for joining me on the podcast today. We will have Scott back next week because I know he's still in Japan.
I think he comes back for two weeks. Sometime this week, right?
Yeah. So he'll be plugging back into society.
wait, you're saying Japan isn't society? Damn.
No, Japan is society, but I think Scott had decided to just disconnect.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Which makes sense, right?
Yeah.
So, I thought of something, and I'm going to throw you out here on the recording. You'll be able to edit out later if you choose to.
Oh, boy.
So, you have musical instruments behind you.
I do, yeah.
Why have you not created a theme song for the Shared Security Podcast?
I ask myself that all the time.
Okay. Just asking. But if you do it, you don't want to get sued like Ed Sheeran over a chord.
That's true. That's a good point. That's why I just prefer other people to make the music for the podcast.
Ah, yes. Okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah. But maybe one day. So. All right. Well, thank you, Kevin.
Thank you
for joining me. Thank you all for listening, and we will talk again next week. Thanks for listening or watching. If you like this episode, please share it with friends and colleagues and subscribe on your favorite podcast listening app. To catch all the latest from the podcast, visit us at sharedsecurity.net. Follow us on Mastodon at Shared Security, on Twitter at SharedSec, and join our Reddit community on the Shared Security Show subreddit.